It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A rule aimed at keeping high school sports competitive ran into some controversy this month.
The Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, or the WIAA, prohibits transfer students in 11th and 12th grade from participating in varsity sports for one calendar year unless they meet certain requirements. The goal of the rule is to keep high schools from stacking their rosters with top athletes.
But the rule has sometimes been contentious. The latest example, Josh Unwenly, a senior track athlete at Campbellsport High School, who recently ran one of the fastest 100-meter sprints in state history.
The WIAA initially ruled that Unwenly couldn't compete in varsity events because his parents were living overseas. They reversed the ruling after a group of state lawmakers wrote to the organization asking them to allow him to compete.
One of those lawmakers joins us now. Dewey Strobel is a Republican from Cedarburg representing Wisconsin's 20th Senate District, which includes Fond du Lac, West Bend, and Campbellsport, where Josh Unwenly attends school. Senator Strobel, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Well, this is happening kind of in your backyard, Senator Strobel. Can you briefly sum up what happened with Josh Unwenly and his track career?
Yeah, sure. Well, through some local news outlets that were covering the story, I learned about this WIAA ruling and the unique circumstances around Josh's family. And it really became clear that the rule was being applied unfairly. And myself and some other legislators, we decided to send a letter to the WIAA asking them to reconsider. And, you know, not only are Josh and his family, they're constituents of mine, but I'm a father of eight kids who all played high school sports at one point, and I really felt for Josh, and I couldn't imagine, you know, having your senior season come to an end due to this WIAA ruling. You ineligible because of circumstances completely outside of his control. And I understand the spirit of the WIAA's transfer rules and why they were put into place. But, I mean, anybody can look at Josh's circumstances and realize that this situation really did not apply. He wasn't transferring to a new school district, you know, to gain a competitive advantage. He was re-enrolling in the school that he had always called home after spending 2 years with his family in Ghana when they were on a mission trip. So I'm grateful that WIAA reversed this decision and allowed Josh to compete. And, you know, we certainly wish him the best of luck in the state track meet this weekend.
This was a pretty unique circumstance. This isn't something that's going to come up exactly like this every day. But do you, apart from reversing this particular decision, do you want the WIAA to dig more into these rules and how they approve waivers in special circumstances like this?
Well, I think that overall the rule is good, but this was such a unique situation. It did not apply. It was not the intent of the rule to apply to this situation. It's where a bunch of kids all decide to go to one school, become a powerhouse, stack the team, and win state. That was not the situation here. But, you know, WIAA, they do a lot of great things for supportive youth sports, but I think that decisions like this only really hinder them. And what makes matters worse is that WIAA is not subject to open meetings laws. And these eligibility decisions, which have the potential to seriously impact future opportunities for student athletes, they're made behind closed doors with no accountability. So I think that we need to have really more transparency with what the WIAA does. And, hey, they make a lot of good decisions, and they should be able to stand behind them. But this is one that, you know, the transparency issue really was highlighted because it wasn't a good decision.
And you've been watching that issue for a while. You co-introduced a bill this year that would have required the WIAA to comply with state open records laws. Can you talk through why you think those laws should apply to this organization?
Well, they're fully impacting our education throughout the state. I mean, academics, sports, I mean, it's all part of our educational system. So, you know, they really have a lot of power over that issue. And I think that they should be open to public scrutiny. I mean, why not? Why should they be able to take these actions behind closed doors? It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. So, you know, that's something I think we need to continue to push for. So we have more explanations and maybe situations like this don't occur in the future.
As we wrap up, Senator Strobel, are you hearing from your colleagues in the legislature, your constituents, sports parents as well, that they want to see something like this, more transparency from the WIAA?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of it. But when we did have those hearings, the WIAA came out very strongly that they are not in favor of that transparency. They are not in favor of open records applying to them. And some people listen to them. So therefore, the bill didn't pass that session. And we'll hope that it can in the future.
Senator Strobel, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Dewey Strobel is a Republican from Cedarburg representing Wisconsin's 20th Senate District. He talked to us about his thoughts on the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association's transfer rules. Now to explain those rules, we have Stephanie Hauser, Executive Director of the WIAA. Stephanie, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Senator Strobel, if you're still with us, I want to thank you for your interest and appreciate your thoughts.
And I wanted to start actually where we left off before we get into the transfer rules, Stephanie, with this idea of, hey, should Wisconsin's open records laws apply to the WIAA? Senator Strobel says, yes, the WIAA has said, hold on. Why? Why shouldn't they apply?
Well, you know, a lot of the WIAA, I think, is not really understood as an entity. And one of the things that we talked about in that open records hearing this winter down in the Capitol is the fact that the WIAA is a private not-for-profit association. It takes zero public tax dollars to function. The WIAA's revenues is 85% generated from ticket sales for the state championship events. And so to subject a not-for-profit small business to the same rules as, I think of the slippery slope that sends us down and all of the other not-for-profit organizations that would then apply to. And so we stand opposed to it on behalf of not only our association, but others like us that are not-for-profit.
All right, the transfer rules, I understand you can't talk specifically about Josh Onwunle, a particular student, but in general, how do these rules for transfer students work and how are they intended to work?
Thank you. And I appreciate acknowledging that I'm not able to speak about an individual student situation. So thank you. We'll speak generally about the WIAA transfer rules. First of all, the rules are made by the member schools themselves, the 514 private and public high schools in Wisconsin that voluntarily belong to the association. They make the rules themselves. And the rationale that they use for the transfer and residence rules are, as Senator mentioned, you know, some of it has to do with the prevention of undue influence to recruit, to bring kids to your school, to maybe make these stacked teams. But the other one that doesn't get talked about as much is the displacement of student athletes that resided there their whole lives. And so it is the transfer rules and residency rules do apply to all of the students in the state, not just those that you maybe hear about when something that gets called to the attention of the public.
Talk about the intent of these rules. Did we really see schools in Wisconsin trying to put together super teams like they were a college or pro recruiters?
Absolutely. If there were not rules for eligibility and residence and transfer, that is what would happen. There are some that try to do that already, but because of the rules and the way that they stand, there is accountability for those. Those rules are meant to preserve the integrity of what education-based athletics is meant to be.
Do we need more flexibility, though, in an appeal process when a student gets caught up because of a quirk in their life situation? They get caught up in these transfer rules and they maybe shouldn't be. Do we need more flexibility and an easier appeal process?
Well, there's a really good appeal process in place already. And again, you know, these aren't things that our office talks about because we're not able to. But I can share generally with you that we receive hundreds of waiver requests each year. And many of those, a good portion, not quite half, but a little below half, are approved each year. And those are due to when there are extenuating circumstances that can be documented. And that's a key word, as you might imagine. We hear a lot of stories. Some are very, very heartfelt and moving, and some are very genuine and true, and some are stretched a little bit. So again, when we are able to, you know, see documentation of extenuated circumstances that mitigate the membership rules, we are able to grant a waiver. And even as part of the due process for that family and the school, if they don't agree with the decision of this office, there's an appeal process. They can appeal to the elected membership of the Board of Control and ask for a consideration to reverse that decision. The other thing I'd like to point out is there was some conversation recently about waiver cases being opened or reopened or closed. They're never closed. They're always open. This office can only make decisions based upon the information that the school has provided to us at that time. If there comes a time where a school provides new information that was not presented before, we take a fresh look at that new information that's been provided. And so these are always open and always willing to accept new information when it comes about.
I want to take our last minute, Stephanie, to switch gears. We hear about college students and name, image, likeness, allowing college athletes to make money. The WIAA tackled this for our high school students last month, rejecting a proposal that would have allowed high school athletes to benefit in that way. Give us a brief overview of why that decision was made.
Well, again, it was a great display of the membership's democratic process at work. The rules indeed are put in place by the member schools themselves. This is a top of a conversation at the high school level now, not just college level, but the high school level across the nation. And our membership has been speaking about it for the past 3 years, and it finally came to a point where they felt like it was time for us to take a look at voting on whether we should adopt this or not into high school sports in Wisconsin. There are 31 state associations that have adopted language very similar to what was proposed for our membership to vote on last month. And it was voted down. It was a very close vote. 45% said yes and 55% said no. So definitely it's going to be something that our membership's going to ask us to continue talking about, vetting the intent of it, the concerns that there were, and possibly bring it back to the membership again next April for a second vote.
Stephanie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for your time.
That's Stephanie Hauser, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. She joined us to talk about her organization's rules on transfer students and residency.